Good morning, boys and girls. Nice to see you. Isn't it good to see the sunshine? I'm coming down the road to school with it shining on us rather than the rain. Some of you are going walking today. Well, I hope you enjoy yourselves. Don't get lost. Have a good time. Well, let's come to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, the chapter 1. We're going to read some verses at the very close of the chapter, for we're coming to the end of our study of the very first chapter, so we're getting on. We'll start our reading at the verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. These last verses bring us to the close of the first chapter of Jonah, and it marks, or they mark, a great turning, not only in the life of Jonah, who had been disobedient, a disobedient servant of God. Well, these verses mark a change in the life of Jonah, but it also marks, I believe, a remarkable change in the life of the sailors in this boat, this ship in which Jonah was. And I want to speak particularly on the change that came in the lives of the sailors. Because you see, boys and girls, I believe that there is evidence set before us here that these sailors got saved. They were converted. The little book of Jonah has many wonderful and miraculous events recorded. But I think that this is one, perhaps, of the most miraculous. The conversion of these sailors. Now just think of their circumstances. There they were, just another day, loading the ship, getting ready to sail, on a journey they probably have been on many times before, but that day there began a series of incidents that changed their lives forever. Down came this stranger, bought a ticket, went down into the ship. They didn't have much by way of dealings with him, for it says that when he entered the ship, he went down into it and he went to sleep. And yet what a beginning there was for these men, for little did they know at that time that this was a man running away from God. And God was determined to stop him running away and determined to get him to go back and do what it was the Lord wanted him to do. So a great storm was sent by the Lord, overtaking the ship. And as a result of the events that took place related to that storm, these men got saved. Now I don't just say that without evidence of their conversion. And I want to have us look first of all at the evidence of the conversion of the sailors. The evidence is there for us to take note of. Let's notice first of all their prayer, because we read that they prayed. Verse 14, and they cried unto the Lord. The word cried there would suggest a very earnest and sincere and genuine prayer. Many people say prayers. In fact, the vast majority of people across the world who would claim to be religious merely say prayers. I have stood in the local Church of Ireland graveyard at funerals, and the minister there goes through a ritual. The people have heard the words that he utters time and time again. For it's the same words that he used at the last funeral, and the funeral before that, and the funeral before that, and the funeral before that. And the minister that was before him had used the same words at the funeral before that, and so on. I could go back hundreds of years. Same words. And in the middle of what it is he is saying, he begins to recite the Lord's Prayer, and the people there join in. And I have noticed as they have been praying, they have been looking out over the field as they recite the Lord's Prayer. They've been looking at each other. They've been fiddling in their pockets. They know the words of the Lord's Prayer, and they can recite the words of the Lord's Prayer, but their mind and their heart is not engaged in this recital. It's just their mouth. They're just repeating words. They're not praying. And I'm sure I'm not being harsh in my judgment. We're just reciting prayers. Muslims do it, Hindus do it, Buddhists do it, Roman Catholics do it, so-called Protestants do it. Across the whole world, people recite prayers. But these men are not reciting prayers. They're speaking words in prayer they never spoke before. Now, if you look back up at an earlier verse, the verse 5, you'll find them praying. It says in verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." Oh, they were scared. And they were really praying to their gods. And I'm sure that they were saying prayers to their gods that had been taught them. Just repeating prayers. Like the false prophets of Baal. Back in the days of Elijah, when they were praying to their false god and crying for him to send down fire upon their sacrifice. But of course there was no god, so there could be no fire. And there was no fire, because these prayers are empty, just directed to nobody, to a false god. Oh yes, these sailors had prayed earlier, but now they're praying differently. They're crying unto the Lord. They're crying unto the Lord. One of the first, and indeed one of the strongest evidences of true conversion, is prayer. Prayer to God. When Saul was converted, and Saul had been a wicked enemy of the gospel, but he got converted, as you know, on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to an old servant of his, Ananias, and told Ananias that there was a man to whom he must speak and give guidance and help. And that man was Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, "Lord, what? That man's an enemy of the gospel, and he's here to persecute the people of God. And you want me to speak with him?" And the Lord, in order to calm poor Ananias, said, "Behold, he prayeth." That's all he had to say. That showed to Ananias there has been a change in Saul of Tarsus. And boys and girls, when you read here in the verse 14 that they cried unto the Lord, then there's been a change in these sailors. Oh yes, earlier they had cried unto their gods, but now there's a change. They're crying unto the Lord. Do notice that it is the Lord they're crying unto. The word there in your Bible, in verse 14, look at it. They cried unto the Lord. Verse 14, are you looking at it? Do you notice how the Lord is spelt? It is spelt with capital letters. See that? You see there, "Wherefore," small letters, "they," small letters, "cried," small letters, "unto," small letters, "the," small letters, "Lord," capitals. And our translators, in order to let us know something, use capitals on this occasion because the word there, translated Lord, is the word Jehovah. Jehovah. The great and special and wonderful name that belongs to God alone. They weren't crying to some old idol. They weren't praying to some old heathen deity, make-believe, invented of men, an imaginary God. No, they were crying to Jehovah, the God of heaven, the true God, the only God. So, I think there's a very strong evidence here that there had been a change wrought in the hearts of these sailors. But notice something else, because there's quite a wee bit here that we're told. In the verse 16, it says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Feared the Lord exceedingly. Now that word, fear, it certainly carries the meaning of being afraid and frightened. But not afraid and frightened as you would be. Maybe in the middle of the night, there was a funny noise in your room, and you didn't know what it was, and you were in under the clothes, shivering. You were frightened. But that wasn't the sort of fear that there was in the hearts of the sailors. The word means reverence. They held the Lord in reverence. Yes, they feared him because he was mighty in power, but it was a fear that showed their reverence for him. Their reverence for him. That was a new attitude. They had never feared the Lord before. The chances are they'd never even heard of the Lord before. But now, and this they would have heard from Jonah, because although we have some of the words that Jonah spoke to the sailors recorded here in the chapter, I think that it would be right for us to understand that the few words recorded here were but an indication of what went on between the sailors and Jonah. Jonah would have enlarged upon what he said and is recorded here. And he would have given them information about the Lord. He said he was the servant of the Lord. Well, I can imagine some sailors saying, well, what does that mean? Who is the Lord that you serve? Can't you see that? And Jonah would have given them a little more information. And doubtless, when it says they feared the Lord, they feared the Lord because of what Jonah had taught them about the Lord. He was the only God, the creator of heaven and earth. And it was he who was bringing this storm and controlling this storm. Oh, I tell you, those men had a wonderful lesson in spiritual truth in a very short time. And what they had learned caused them to fear the Lord. Oh, so many boys and girls have no reverence for God. They take his name and they use it as a blasphemy. They use it as a curse word. It is so common these days. When someone is surprised, or if they're annoyed, what comes out of their mouth? The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. You never hear anybody saying, when they're shocked or surprised or annoyed or angry, Oh Allah! You never hear anybody say that. Oh Allah! Taking the name of the Muslim God. Or Oh Buddha! The name of the Buddhist's God. I'm afraid my knowledge of the names of all the other old gods that people believe in is somewhat limited, so I can't go any further than naming those two. But you never hear anybody doing that. But they will take the name of the Lord. Why? Because he is the only God, and man in his heart knows he's the only God. And to show his despising of the only true God, he takes his name in vain. But these men reverence the Lord. There's a change in them. Oh, I tell you, I believe they're converted. Do you reverence the Lord? Do you? In days gone by, boys and girls, when the presence of the Lord and his power was in our land, when people assembled to worship, and the minister came into the pulpit and stood up and said, let us worship, there was a stillness. There was a fixing of their thoughts upon the things of God and upon the Lord. They were conscious they were in his house and that they were now about the solemn business of worship. There was a consciousness of God, a fear of his name. And that's what these sailors now had. And I'm telling you, I firmly believe that they were saved. But there's something else that is told us here. We are told in the verse 16, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows." One sacrifice, but a number of vows. All together, they joined in worship and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. I think I wouldn't be mistaken if I were to tell you that oftentimes on ships, the sailors would carry some small animals, goats, sheep, and that was their means of carrying food. If they were on a long journey, you see, then they could kill one of these animals and cook them and they would have fresh food. So I wouldn't be in the least surprised that they had an animal there that they could sacrifice. And I have no doubt that they would have been given some instruction about the matter concerning the worship of God by Jonah. And so they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. This marked a new beginning in their life. They were worshipping the Lord now at the blood-stained altar. That's what happens to every person who becomes a true Christian. They begin to worship God, and in their worship, they plead the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount. I know nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Those men really had been changed. But they not only offered a sacrifice, but it says they vowed vows. What does that mean? Well, we can almost listen in to those men on the deck of that ship, engaged in worship. I don't know how many of them there were. I'm sure there was at least a dozen men there. And if we could draw near to each one, we would hear each one of them say, "Lord, my life's going to change from today. I know now that you are the true God. I have lived a sinful life, but it's going to change from today." And one man would have said, "Lord, I'll not be doing that anymore. I'll put those matters away and I'll start living right." Another man, he would say, "Lord, you know I've done these things, but I'm not going to do them anymore." And each man before the Lord made vows, talked to the Lord about his own life and what it was that needed to happen in his life. That's what conversion is. And I believe it happened to these sailors. Now, I had another point to make, but that's going to have to keep until next week. But boys and girls, give thought to this today. There's a storm out there. It's going to end in the perishing of those who do not know the Lord. That storm will eventually overwhelm sinners and bring them down to everlasting damnation. And it's only those who are trusting in Christ, who are under the blood, who love the Lord, will escape. As soon as these men did what they were commanded to do and put old Jonah overboard, the storm stopped. They saw before their eyes the wonderful power of God at work. And that was part of the persuading of them to turn in faith to the Lord and trust in Him. Oh, that you might be saved. Oh, that you might be saved. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Our God and Father, in the midst of all that storm and manifesting of your anger, you showed your mercy. And we believe, Lord, that each one here who's saved will one day meet those sailors in glory. And they'll be able to tell us details about the matter that perhaps are not given us here. Lord, that is what will make heaven, heaven. Bless the boys and girls today, the whole school. Take care of the group that goes off for a walk. I pray that they may have eyes to see the glories of God in the earth around. Bless the teachers. Undertake for the school, we ask. And be with it as the term comes to an end. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.